Hello and welcome in to the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside a full house, Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer, fresh off of the first game of the 2015 season. The first weekend, really, everything got going Thursday. I guess we're technically not counting the Montana-North Dakota State game that was the unofficial start of the college football season a week before. But Division I really got going this weekend. UNLV was on the road at Northern Illinois as a 23-point underdog. Scored the first touchdown of the game on a 64-yard pass play from Decker DeBoyd. And, you know, I was not at the game. I was at a wedding in San Francisco. And it was kind of shortly after the ceremony that in attendance, because there were a lot of people from Las Vegas there, in attendance was a fan who just kind of came over to me and showed me the box score of a 17-10 halftime lead. I was like, okay, you know, time to kind of pay attention to this one for the rest of the way. But Ray, you were on the scene, so I just want to go to you. Kind of overall impressions from the game. UNLV ends up losing 38-30. Seemed like in the fourth quarter, Northern Illinois sort of pulled away, started to make the score about what it was supposed to be, and then UNLV comes back, gives itself a chance. So it could have gone either way, but it ends up close. UNLV was kind of in it the entire way. What are just some of your initial takeaways, impressions from the first game there?
Well, I think the questions about how will UNLV play, how will they be prepared, were answered, because they had a game plan, they executed it. I thought the offense was crisp. They were dedicated to running the ball. You know, it's toward the end of the game, especially on defense, when they just ran out of bodies. They were tired. They missed some tackles. They had some breakdown in pass coverage. They had one instance where Northern Illinois scored a touchdown, Taylor, to go up for the first time in the third quarter, and they were running a player on the field, and there was basically two guys that were open that could have scored the touchdown for Northern Illinois. So things got a little out of hand in the third quarter, but I think in seasons past where that would have snowballed and UNLV would have lost by 25 or 30, you got to give them credit for coming back, making things interesting. And, of course, you expected their response to be, we don't believe in moral victories. Yes, we lost by 8. Yes, we were ahead, but that was a game we thought we should have won. And let's move ahead to next week.
Yeah, rushing going to be a focal point for this team. Tony Sanchez has always kind of hammered the point. He wants to be a power team, wants to work in the fullback and all this stuff. So I'm looking at the box score here. I'm a little surprised that Whiteley, who was the starter at running back there, Keith Whiteley, got as many carries as he did, at least in comparison to the other guys. So he had 21 for 68. Lexington Thomas and Xavier Campbell, you know, a couple of the true freshmen we talked about, combined for just 6 carries. Blake Decker had 10, but that, you know, includes sacks involved with that. I'm kind of shocking to you, or not shocking is way too much. Surprised at all from you guys the way the carries were distributed, or is that something where you know freshmen, younger guys, you just have to earn more carries as the year goes?
I think that they did a real good job of trying to develop players. You know, they had the backup Pavlicek.
You had a tweet on this. What was it? Did 8 true freshmen?
It ended up being 9 true freshmen. Okay. 2 freshmen played, which isn't ideal when you're trying to build a program, yeah. But it just speaks to the volumes of, you know, how a lot of the positions were upside down. Like, they didn't have a sophomore wide receiver, for example. And they had to.
Well, don't they have 2 of those? Boyd and Keys?
Well, there was one class where they didn't have a wide receiver. Okay, gotcha. But either way. Yeah, maybe it's the senior class right now. Whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not ideal. You only want to play a freshman if they're physically, mentally ready to go. And UNLV had to play 9 of them, which you know they're going to use on the recruiting trail.
Well, see, I don't even – in case you can jump in here in a second. I don't think it's had to. I think Tony wants to do that. And for part of the reason that Ray said, he can sell that.
I know what Ray was saying, but I actually disagree with him the way he was saying. I think as far as building a program, it is ideal that you're getting that many freshmen. And these are the guys that are going to turn around your program eventually. Is it ideal for winning this year? Absolutely not. And I agree with you. But I think down the road, I mean, you look at the schools that – build with a new coach, and this is the way they do it. So I think it is encouraging to see. I mean, they only lost by a touchdown too, and they're playing all these new kids. So I mean, I don't look at that as a negative, although, you know, yeah, it is going to hurt you this year for sure.
Yeah, and Palandek gets in. We had known that was going to be a plan before the game, but I had forgotten about it. So when I started seeing tweets, I was like, oh no, what happened to Blake Decker? I thought he had already gotten hurt or knocked out of the game, something. So he comes in. Was he in there for two series, Ray?
Yeah, he played the fourth series of the first half, scrambled for a first down, scrambled for a touchdown, and then played again in the second half. And he looked good both times. He threw one pass. I think it was for 10 yards.
Yep, he was one for one. And I was going to ask about that. You know, do you see from what I've seen in practices, like I don't see another good quarterback on the roster as far as, you know, I was thinking of that in terms of passing. So maybe if they keep working Palandek in, it's predominantly or almost specifically a run type of formations, and you just catch them off guard with the pass every once in a while.
And I think a lot of it is Blake Decker clearly the one, but you see your offensive line, and they haven't hid from the fact that that's a weakness, and there's going to be a chance for Decker to get injured. It's not when, it's when.
Yeah.
And I think they're just making it to when that does happen, that the number two guy is ready to roll.
Yeah, and I would think also Decker's a senior, Palandek's a sophomore. You know, it's not about this year for this team. Tony's not going to come out and say this, but I think you're trying to make sure you have some experience behind him too. You're laughing about something.
That's just so depressing. It's not if, it's when our quarterback's going to get hurt.
We've been saying that, though. I've been saying it's when.
Blake Decker knows. He just hopes he doesn't have to have surgery.
Why do you think he spent so much time in the weight room?
Well, can we at least hope the guy gets a minor injury or something? I
don't think it's going to be something that knocks him out, but odds are they're going to need someone else to play
just
the position.
It was just depressingly stated.
Drew Hare, 21-26 for 360 yards and two touchdowns, so he had zero problem with UNLV's defense. Joel, you want to do the last name for me?
I do not. I don't even want to try to spell the last name for you.
I do not know how it's pronounced.
Bouillon?
That's my guess. It's Bouagnon, not as if anybody cared about how it was spelled. But he had 152 yards and three touchdowns on 21 carries.
First half, though, my friend, he only had 18 yards.
On how many carries?
6 for 18.
Okay, so
and then UNLV like twice had fourth down stops to get the ball back. So the defense did show some potential. It's just when the dogs got a little tired, they didn't have anybody to bring in to stop the bleeding, if you will.
Here's what concerns me, since I'm always the negative one, and what stands out on the box score. I might as well fill my role. Among qualifying teams that played against other FBF schools, Northern Illinois, after week one, second in the nation in yards per pass attempt, 13.8 yards per pass attempt.
Yeah, and and you could say, oh, it's one game, all this, but when that's a huge concern for UNLV going into the year, then I think it's fair to freak out a little about that.
Yeah, and I know we'll get to this, but I might as well get the Ray Brewer eye rolling going right away. This is not hyperbole. Of all the games I watched this weekend, the passing offense I was most impressed with by far was UCLA. I mean, it was unstoppable. They looked much better than I expected, so that'd be a cause for concern for me.
Yeah. So overall, like I said, Northern Illinois gets out with the 38-30 victory. You know what? I sent this out to Twitter kind of while I was away, just for impressions from people trying to, you know, see what they thought is close enough, good enough at this stage, all of that. And you know, obviously, UNLV, the players, Tony, they're not going to say that they are okay with what happened. But, Ray, should they be? Like, is this outcome, the way it played out, all of this? Because I feel like you just kind of alluded to it, but your takeaway from the game was that they were in it, they had every chance, but they're not deep enough or just, you know, maybe experienced enough to kind of finish off a game like that. Or when it's the fourth quarter, they're going to get run over in a lot of these, but they're good enough for three quarters.
Yeah, I think the outcome merits, you know, to be happy that, you know, you still have the players interested and they think they're going to be better than what they are. But you're up 17-3. You think you're going to win the game. And if you just look at the third quarter, twice they had drives down into the end zone. They had to settle for field goals. And on the first drive, they had two drops in the end zone that could have resulted in a touchdown. And that changes the complexity of the game right there. So, yeah, I think, you know, UNLV has to be feeling good about itself, that they're not, you know, as bad as we think they should be or that everybody thought they would be. But at the same time, you're up 17-3, and next thing you know, you're down by 13 points. To me, that is the one thing that they're going to address. And they've got plenty of film to say, look, we're a drop away, a tackle away, an alignment away. Fred Wilson, who you could argue is their best cornerback, right? No.
I mean, he's like
he's on the team.
He's the returning starter. If he's their best cornerback, they have problems.
He got burned twice long, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And that right there, and no safety help either. I mean, obviously their quarterback 21-26, totally picked the defense alive. But I think that was after they were able to establish the run a little bit, and UNLV had to put more attention on stopping the run. First half, UNLV up 17-3. Then they give up the late touchdown there, where Northern Illinois just drove down the field relative ease, and you kind of sense the game slipping away right there.
Oh, by the way, I just thought of this because it was so early in the game, and so it probably was. Was that UNLV's first drive that
they
got
touchdown?
Yeah.
Third play, yeah. So they had
continuing the trend of last year.
No. They had it was their seventh play, but first drive. So they
it was the first drive.
Picked up a first down on third down, picked up another first down, and then it was third down and long, and Boyd ran long, Decker threw long, Boyd caught, touchdown.
Yeah, so they're still good at coming out of the gates at the very start of the game and scoring, which they were phenomenal at last year, and then one of the biggest issues was always the terrible starts to the second half and, honestly, terrible finishes to the first half, too. But that's
similar script then.
Yes. that's what happened Saturday. One fan who wrote to me after I asked, you know, kind of impressions, they said, well, they covered the spread. So that is something. They did that. We will see if they're able to do that again this weekend. The number's down a little bit. I think off-season Golden Nugget line had UCLA, who's – are they still ranked number 13? Has the new poll come out?
That's a good question. I can check. 13, correct.
Yeah, so number 13 UCLA comes to Sam Boyd Stadium this weekend. The number had been like 32 right around there, currently 29 at the South Point, 28 a few other places. So it's just, you know, come down a hair. Could be, you know, kind of reaction to – well, certainly would be reaction on UNLV's side and not UCLA's, because UCLA was – completely fine, right? I didn't get a chance to watch your game, but I think, Case, you did.
Yeah, I watched mostly all the UCLA game, and it was about what you expected. The number, betting-wise, was right on. They were covering, I think, with 5 minutes to go, and then Virginia scored one garbage TD
to cover. That's what you're concerned about this weekend, too.
Exactly. Although I feel good that it went down. I was worried after week one it was going to go up to, like, 35. Yeah. I feel more confident at 28. I know.
Hold on, our number isn't locked in.
Well, our number's locked in. We're talking about covering in general. Well, sure, our 32 is locked in. I still stand by they will be up by 32 at some point in the game. I don't know if they'll end up covering, sure. But our bet is locked in.
Going to be hot out there. Did you see that it's unseasonably hot?
The weather.
Listen, dude, it's part of the equation.
I don't know, though.
He's wearing black jerseys, they're probably going to be more hot.
I just don't know. What time?
They are already immune to it from practicing in the heat.
Kickoff is 7:30, though. I've been outside at 7:30 two Fridays in a row, and I really haven't thought it's that hot.
Well, you haven't been in L.A. in the cool, breezy air of Los Angeles all summer in pads either.
Hey, we'll see. I think we got into this argument last week. I'm just saying I'm extremely high on UCLA. I think they're one of the best teams in the country, and there's no – I mean, the AP poll, number 13, is just ludicrous with all that this team has. It's because of the hot takes that we hear from Brewer that, freshman quarterback, no chance. That's the only reason why this team isn't more higher ranked.
All right, let's just get into that right now then, because the freshman quarterback's name is Ray?
Josh the Chosen One Rosen or something?
It's
or
so refreshing.
and who did he play for last year, and where did he lose last year?
He played for St. John Bosco, who lost to Bishop Gorman and Tony Sanchez. Not saying that the result's going to be the same. Case is working. He's Googling right now to prove me wrong.
No. I wanted to see what he did in that game, actually. It was just nice to hear his name, because that's all I ever hear is the freshman quarterback. I turned on ESPNU, and Joey Galloway was going on the exact same rant I've heard you make three times this offseason. He's like, I just can't get behind UCLA. You know, it's that freshman quarterback. Freshman quarterback this, freshman quarterback that. Can we at least call a kid Josh Rosen? I think he's at least earned that.
And as I pointed out to Ray earlier, last year he was very gung-ho about a certain freshman quarterback starting in the Pac-12. But that was different because a new Solomon had a redshirt year, which I'll grant you. There is a difference between a true
Jameis too
and a redshirt.
He loved Jameis 2 years ago.
But I don't think it's that huge of a difference that you can consider one to be a viable option and the other just crazy. Is that nuts?
I'm crazy.
I think it is a little crazy. And this is what I, when you were making fun of me, saying I was typing crazy to look for something, I wanted to see if the freshman quarterback had a bad game against Gorman. It doesn't look like he did. He had 240 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I still can't figure out.
A lot of that was in garbage time.
I still can't figure.
They were up.
The game was close. I was watching that game.
They were up. No, it was garbage. They pressured him. They hit him. They made him miserable.
I still can't figure. I still can't figure out where you. What made you so down on this kid? And I thought that this was going to be the answer, and I was going to say, like, Josh Rosen threw 3 interceptions to Nico Fertitta, but it doesn't even, did he even turn the ball over at all? It doesn't look like it.
Apparently he's going to win the Heisman Trophy and be the first round pick of the Bucks. He'll be your quarterback.
Well, no, he's not draft
years.
Eligible.
No, in 3 years. I just
said
I
hope
years.
So. I think he'll be better than Jameis.
He's
NFL.
Got a golden arm.
Hey, all I'm saying is the kid looked incredible on
against
Saturday.
Against Virginia.
Now he's playing UNLV.
I know.
Whose pass defense are you going to take, the Cavs or the Rebs? I'll tell you which one I'm going to take.
I'm taking the Cavs, but just because he tears up Virginia and UNLV doesn't mean he's going to win a national championship. Doesn't mean he's going to tear up USC or whoever. He might beat Washington State, which
all
lost
right.
to Portland State.
We'll see.
So that's what's coming up this weekend. You have that to look for. It should be – I was talking to people – when I was over in San Francisco, this has got to be a great crowd, right? Like, so first game of the season, new coach who's injected a lot of excitement, new uniforms, Rebels are going to wear their black ones, new field, good performance in week one, and a top 15 team, you know, arguably should be a top 5, top 10 team coming into town, name brand, UCLA, all of that. Like, if they can't get I don't even know what the number should be. But this ought to be easily 35, right? Am I crazy for that? Is that too high?
Because you got to
remember. As soon as I said that, I was like, yeah, no, that's too high.
You also got to remember Floyd.
Who cares about Floyd fighting whoever that person is?
20 mil
actually,
for one
is
night?
Is it Berto? Is that who he's fighting?
When I was going to look up some Josh Rosen stats, I came across an ESPN front page story. I didn't read it, but it said Mayweather Berto shaping up as a box office dud.
Yeah.
So maybe that won't have as much
of an
effect.
Well, of course, that doesn't. Yeah. That could still take a few from people who probably didn't even want to come out to Sam Boyd anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I really haven't followed the numbers as well, so I'll defer to you guys on that. But I would think there should be a good crowd.
I mean, what's a fair. What should we set this line at?
24-5.
God, I hope they can get 25 out there.
If they get 24-5 and if they get another moral victory, sorry, I know I can't use that word, but if they get another moral victory, I think it's good. Now, tell me this, totally spin it forward. UNLV Reno, after seeing each team in week one,
what are
right?
you talking about?
Reno struggles to beat UC Davis, right? At home, UNLV goes on the road against, you know, a respectable Northern Illinois team with a veteran quarterback.
That game's a month away. And we
already
think it's winnable. Like, everyone is on that page. None of us like Polian. None of us think Reno is good.
It's the best you've
I'm
said.
I'm not going to high five for that. We're
none of us like Polian.
For the record, Ray high-fived himself. I would not be a
no,
part of
it's
that.
Fine. I high-five myself all
day. So UNLV-UCLA, 7:30 at Sam Boyd Stadium this weekend. Game is on CBS College Sports Network. I've got the game on the DVR. I got into town yesterday, so we're recording this on Tuesday. I'm going to go back through all that, make sure to read all of Ray's coverage, just try and get some impressions as I head over to Sanchez's presser this week also. You know, I'm with Ray. It's a good result. You never expected a win. At least anyone outside that locker room never expected a win. And so keeping it close, there's things you can build on. There's obvious concerns. The pass defense, paramount among them, because that is, you know, I had this debate with a few people, you know, if it's the UNLV offensive line versus the defensive backs, you know, which one do you need more out of this year, because I think those are the two biggest concerns as far as your position groups. And it seems like, at least judging by the numbers without watching it, it's tough to say, but you know, from that, it seems like the offensive line at least did okay. you know, held its own for a while. 3.5 yards per rushing attempt, that's not going to get it done, but it's, you know, certainly better than looking at Drew Hare's numbers. And like Kay said, Northern Illinois' passing attack did the best of anyone in the country that was playing a Division I opponent. So the preseason concerns for UNLV were on display there, but so were a lot of the positives, a lot of the things to build on. There were 9 true freshmen in the depth chart coming into the week, and so all of those guys, or at least 9 guys, I don't know if it was the exact same, got in there. That's positive. That's something you can build on. And UNLV got a commitment. Was that the day after?
Two days after. Tied in.
And so you see that things can kind of work together with alongside this in a way that we just haven't seen, at least, you know, specifically in the Hauk era when recruiting was specifically like a December, January affair. They'd go out to games during the season, but we didn't hear much about it. You didn't see anything about it, and it was all thrown together at the end. So this is part of building the program, and it's a good result. It's okay. You know, they're not going to be thrilled about it. No fans should be like out celebrating a ton, but it's positive. It's good there. And so now you step from that into the toughest part of these 3
Only
games.
One negative comment. No joke. No guess who it's from, though.
In the story?
First guy who comments in every story.
I can't remember what we call him.
Rebel Robert.
Okay. What's he have to say? Let's give him a little time here on the Rebel Room as we wrap up.
He just thinks Tony Sanchez is a joke.
Oh, well, get out of here.
Who doesn't?
I don't think anyone in this room does.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's going to work, but as we've all said, we'd like to hire. Good move for UNLV. We'll see what they can do here, but should be lots of excitement. Should be a lot of people out at Sam Boyd Stadium. I'm hoping. You know, it just creates a much better environment there, and I don't know whether they're going to see an actual game because this thing could get ugly really fast, but I think it's worth coming out considering how cheap tickets are. UCLA is a good opponent, all of that stuff. Check out the field. It looks great. The uniform should be cool. You know, all of those different things combined there. So let's wrap up here. Quick prediction just against the line. So it's 29 as we record. UCLA is favored. Let's go around the room. What's going to be the right side this weekend, Case?
I mean, I can't. I've dug myself in a hole. I'm line. UCLA. You know, UNLV could cover with another good effort, but I'm really, really high on UCLA. I think if I was a voter, I would have them as a top 7 or 8 team, no question. I think they'll be winning by more than 29 at one point, and it's just a question of if UNLV runs through the back door.
Ray, what you got?
I think UNLV continues its good effort. It's a trend. I think they take the air out of the ball a little bit, and they shorten the game. And I think they cover, and they're respectable. Again, moral victory, real victory loss, real loss in the win. Yeah.
What was any of that? I picked Northern Illinois in week 1, so obviously UNLV covered, and I was wrong on that one. I'll stick with the big favorite here. I just don't know what to make of these yet. The passing defense, I think, is just too much for me to feel comfortable on UNLV's side. But I could see where this is just like a kind of a 14-point loss where UNLV hangs in or, you know, comes back late with all of that. But for my official selection, I don't know why you're celebrating, Brewer, because I'm going with UCLA minus on this. But we'll see. We'll see what the chosen one, Rosen, has in store. See if Sanchez can continue his winning streak against him. Unlikely, but you never know. Case, you will be at the fight.
I will be at the game. I gotta go see my UCLA Bruins. There's no doubt, right?
So is Brewer on fight duty?
I am.
All right, so Ray Brewer will be on the strip for Who Cares, and Case and I for the only event Saturday night in Las Vegas that anyone should pay attention to.
Rosen versus Decker 1.
Yeah. All right, we'll see you out there.